This is In the News for January 3rd, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin of KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is a bit of a breaking news story from Reuters, dated today, January 3rd, out of Baiji, Iraq. U.S. air raid kills Iraqi family, according to officials, and I will add that this is a disastrous example of what we're being told is a major increase in U.S. use of air power, bombing of Iraq, and people being concerned that many more civilians than have already been being killed, that number will increase. So here's a story again from Reuters out of Baiji, Iraq. A U.S. airstrike killed several members of a family in the oil refining town of Baiji in northern Iraq, Iraqi security forces said on Tuesday. The U.S. military, responding to an inquiry, said aircraft had targeted a house after three men suspected of planting a roadside bomb were seen entering the building late on Monday. The military statement made no mention of casualties and said Iraqi police had handled the scene after the attack. Local people at the scene of the blast said seven bodies were recovered from the rubble, including at least two children. A police official in the regional capital, Tikrit, said six people were killed and three wounded, although an official at the Joint Coordination Center, which liaises between U.S. and Iraqi forces in Salahuddin province, said 14 died. Officials named the householder as Gadhan Nahi Hussein. A statement from the U.S. 101st Airborne Division in response to an inquiry about the death said soldiers monitoring video footage from a reconnaissance drone spotted three men apparently digging a hole around 9 p.m., quote, following the common pattern of roadside bomb emplacement, end quote. Bomber pilots were alerted, the military statement said, and went on, quote, the individuals left the roadside and were followed from the air to a nearby building. Coalition forces employed precision-guided munitions on the structure, end quote. The statement did not say whether a roadside bomb was found. Baiji has seen considerable rebel attacks, including efforts by insurgents to disrupt oil and fuel flows through its refinery, the biggest in Iraq. The closure of the refinery last month has caused serious shortages in fuel across the country, although the plant reopened again late on Monday. U.S. forces have used air power increasingly throughout the past year. Official military data show only one strike was carried out in March, and the average in the first quarter was five strikes per month, compared to over 50 in the last quarter. Iraqi medical staff, police, and political leaders, particularly in the restive Sunni Arab-dominated West and North, have reported civilian casualties in such raids. U.S. commanders say they make every effort to minimize the risk. There's information on this for Reuters. Gained additional reporting was by Arif Mohammed in Kirkuk, Kaswan al-Jabouri in Tikrit, and Asil Kami, Alistair MacDonald, Gideon Long, and Hiba Musa in Baghdad. Again, that's from Reuters. Next story today is from the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, or CISPAS. It's a press release dated December 29th. Roadblocks thwart January 1st CAFTA deadline. Stop CAFTA Coalition announces actions to protest faulty, undemocratic implementation process for Central American Free Trade Agreement. In January, local groups around the country will mobilize to protest the implementation of the U.S. Dominican Republic Central American Free Trade Agreement, or CAFTA, passed in the U.S. House of Representatives by a mere two votes in July after a draining political battle. July 1, 2006 marks the date that the Bush administration had set for implementation of CAFTA. However, progress has been frustrated in various countries where the U.S. insists on the need for constitutional reforms before CAFTA goes into effect, while in Costa Rica, the parliament has yet to bring CAFTA to a vote, despite recent threats from the U.S. ambassador. According to Kristen Baker, a spokesperson for the U.S. Trade Representative, quote, we want CAFTA, Dominican Republic, to start as close as possible to January 1, 2006 so that U.S. and regional businesses can begin taking advantage of the agreement's benefits in the shortest possible time, end quote. But even in El Salvador, the country closest to finalizing its constitutional reforms, President Tony Saca has announced that conflicts within the Salvadoran Assembly will prevent implementation until at least February. The Bush administration continues to push reforms to the remaining country's domestic laws before they can comply with the broad changes that CAFTA imposes. Tom Ricker of the Quixote Center of the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador said, quote, the problems associated with implementing CAFTA demonstrate what we've been saying all along. This agreement goes beyond trade and requiring dramatic changes in domestic laws that grant new rights to transnational corporations at the expense of working people, end quote. He continued, the fact that legislatures throughout Central America and in the Dominican Republic are now struggling to change laws governing intellectual property, services, and investment in order to receive U.S. certification for joining CAFTA makes clear the undemocratic nature of this agreement, end quote. According to Burke Stansbury from the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, quote, from day one, the Bush administration has been trying to ram CAFTA down people's throats with little substantive debate and despite voices of tremendous opposition. In Costa Rica, they have failed, and in other countries it took repression and dirty tactics to ratify CAFTA. But just as Central American social movements continue to resist the imposition of the devastating agreement, we too are not giving up, end quote. Organizations from throughout Central America recently met in Costa Rica for the fifth Mesoamerican Forum, where they pledged to continue fighting CAFTA and to mobilize huge protests for the visit of President Bush to El Salvador in mid-January. In the U.S., the Stop CAFTA Coalition is organizing coordinated local anti-CAFTA actions in January to denounce the likely effects of the agreement in Central America and to hold accountable representatives and senators who voted in favor of CAFTA in July. For more information on this issue, go to www.stopcafta.org. And finally today, from High Country News, there's a section called Hotlines. This is from their latest issue. You can find High Country News at hcn.org. This is titled Bipartisan Uprising Sinks Public Lands Sell-Off. A proposal to sell public lands landed in the trash can on December 13th thanks to objections from Western senators, both Democrat and Republican. Representative Jim Gibbons, Republican of Nevada, and Representative Richard Pombo, Republican of California, had tried to overturn an 11-year moratorium on selling federal land to mining companies by attaching a proposal to House budget legislation. Critics said the provision would have allowed developers to buy millions of acres of public land for as little as $1,000 per acre. The Pombo-Gibbons proposal immediately sparked a grassroots uprising. The leaders of more than 700 hunting groups, shooting and archery clubs, and conservation groups came out against the provision. They persuaded many politicians to condemn it, including Democratic congressmen and Republicans such as Senator Conrad Burns of Montana, Senator Craig Thomas of Wyoming, and Senator Wayne Allard of Colorado. Senator Thomas said, quote, the mining provision never belonged in the budget reconciliation package, end quote. People like Joel Gossett of Platteville, Colorado, a Republican gun rights advocate and an avid hunter, are delighted with the provision's withdrawal. He said, quote, I grew up in Colorado, and I can name 100 places where I can no longer camp, end quote, because private landowners closed off access. Gossett says that makes the public land increasingly important, he says. It belongs to the citizens of this country. It's the ultimate property rights issue. But the issue is far from settled. A spokesman for Pombo said he and Gibbons will try again next year to, quote, unquote, modernize the 1872 mining law that was written by Ray Ring of High Country News at hcn.org. This has been In the News for January 3rd, 2006. Talk to you next time.